Everybody, welcome to Lost Cast, the best casting for Guild Wars on podcast. Yeah. Oh, wait, what? Wait, we're not. But I thought... Well, Magnus, you told me... You told me to... Oh, my bad. Oh, I'm so... this is Guildcast. Yeah, Guildcast, the number one. Love you, Sean. Magnus, you really need to warn me next time.
Welcome back to this 92nd episode of Guildcast for January 24th, 2008. I'm your host, Sean. In this episode, I'm going to talk all about the Asura, including a hefty segment on Polymach. But first, the news and the people who asked to be mentioned this week. They include Cat Fancy, Rage and Fury, Demented Dingo, Raphael of the Dark, and Milo Piontek. In game news, there's really only one huge piece of news that has stirred up many players lately, and that's the availability of the bonus mission packs to everyone on January 28th. Previously, the bonus mission packs were only available to those who spent $30 or more in the online store, and it was offered as an added bonus, hence the name bonus mission pack. But now ArenaNet is releasing them to the public. They will cost $9.99, which is €8.99 or £5.99, and I'll put a link in today's show notes for more information on these bonus mission packs. And to help get you into the spirit of the BMP's release on the 28th, there have been two new BMP wallpapers released this week, so check those out for a little refreshing change to your desktop. Also, there have been some major changes regarding territorial travel in Guild Wars. According to what is said on the official site, it says, as part of our goal of supporting global player interaction, we are making changes to the territory and district user interface. As of later today, which was on January 17th, players in Korean language districts can travel between American, European, and Korean districts. Players in Japanese and Taiwanese language districts will be able to travel to the other language districts following a subsequent game update in the coming weeks. The end result is that players in any language district will be able to travel to any other language district within Guild Wars. We will continue to offer international districts as an additional location for players to meet one another. The Asura are a race of diminutive but incredibly intelligent humanoids who live beneath the surface of Tyria. They see the world as a complex magical machine, and their philosophy of eternal alchemy touches everything they do. Inventors, scientists, and spellcasters of every stripe, the Asura consider many other races beneath them and are not afraid to tell them so at every opportunity. It has been centuries since Asura were seen above ground. In fact, until recently, many humans thought that they were just a myth. However, recent reports have confirmed their existence. The Asuran lands have often been described as Jurassic Park, which I think is very appropriate considering the inhabitants and the fauna. Most of what you'll find in this area resemble dinosaurs, and even have some similar names to dinosaurs, like the Tyrannus, Raptors, which is actually a dinosaur, and the Angrodon, and just things like that, other words that I wouldn't even try to pronounce on here. I also did a little digging around for some Asuran trivia, because I love trivia, and there's really a ton. First off, the word Asura is used in both Hinduism and Buddhism, which is pretty interesting. The Asuran above-ground capital of Ratasum is actually an anagram of Mersat, but it's also loosely translated in Latin to mean I'm thinking, which is pretty appropriate. The Asurin NPC Blim speaks quotes from Milton in Office Space, if you've ever seen that movie. Except, of course, he changes the word stapler to staff and a few other little Guild Wars customized changes here and there. But it's pretty entertaining. If you've ever seen that movie and then you go talk to Blim over in Ratisum, you'll see the similarities. Also, the merchant in Ratisum, don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, his name is Gni Neprok, is an anagram of John Corpening, who is one of ANET's programmers. See, it's things like this, it's just the kind of thing that I really love. These little hidden Easter eggs or the hidden meanings behind stuff, especially anagrams. ANET is just really good at that kind of stuff. Anyway, onto the real information here. Let's first go over the Asurin rank title and bonuses. Each rank in the Asurin title can be recognized by the words not too, like there's not too smelly, not too annoying, which is probably my favorite, there's not too lazy, and just so on and so forth. Once you gain rank 1, which is not too smelly, you talk to Lex in Ratisum to obtain the title effect Edification. What this effect does is it actually adds energy to your energy pool while you are in the Asurin lands. And it starts at plus 6 max energy and it goes all the way up to plus 15 max energy at title rank 10. To earn more Asurin reputation, you can do several things. You can kill enemies in the Asurin lands while under the effect of the Asurin bodyguard effect after talking to the Asurin crew members. There's also the dungeons associated with the Asurin lands, like Bogroot Growths, Shards of Ore, Ula's Lab, and Arachne's Haunt. You can also turn in your at least half-completed Hero's Handbook or Master Dungeon Guide, and these are all very reminiscent of the other ones that I've already talked about, like Vanguard, Norn, things like that. They're all pretty much the same. But we have one marked difference here, and that's the ever-popular Polymach to gain reputation points. What is Polymach? Well, I'm glad you asked. Polymach is a mini-game only in Eye of the North that is described as a battle chess-type strategy game, or it's also been called Pokemon on steroids. You play against the AI with three pieces that you select, and each has a unique skill bar. And the aim is to defeat your opponent by countering the pieces that it picks. There are 27 different Polymach pieces in all. Each time you pick one piece, you take the form of the corresponding creature. Polymach pieces resemble chess pieces when viewed in your inventory and appear to have a unique shape that is dependent upon the creature the piece is based upon. Each piece has its own set of skills. Polymach pieces must be registered before they can be used. So to do this, you must first obtain 3 starter pieces from Hoth in Ratisum and then register them with Den, D-E-N-N. Each registration removes the Polymach piece from your inventory and is permanently tied to your character, so you don't want to register the piece if you plan on trading it to another character. Now for a quick rundown of the rules, basically what you're doing is once you have the 3 starter pieces, you can do the repeatable quest chain, which starts from, it's called Polymach Defeat Yolma, and the objective of this is like any of the other Polymach quests, where you have to defeat all 3 of your opponent's pieces before they kill yours. After defeating the designated opponent, i.e. completed the quest and accepted the reward, you can return to those you have defeated and challenge them to a match under tournament rules. The one difference is that you are required to choose your Polymach pieces from all 3 rarities, which is white, purple, and gold, of course. If you did not register at least 1 Polymach piece for each rarity, you cannot challenge opponents using tournament rules. So winning such Polymach matches will earn you from 40 to 90 Asurin reputation points, depending on who you challenged, of course. Polymach takes place in several special explorable areas, depending on which region the opponent is found in. Like there's the Polymach Coliseum in the Tarnished Coast, there's the Polymach Glacier in the Far Shiver Peaks, and then there's the Polymach Crossing in the Char Homelands. To prepare for Polymach, what you do is you talk to Wok, W-O-K-K, to choose the 3 Polymach pieces that you want to use. After selecting your three pieces, you are then asked to select which of the three to start with. You are allowed to examine at your skill bar before each round begins. But note that the platforms that your piece and your opponent's piece are standing on are close to each other, and that it's impossible to move out of range, although you can strafe back and forth to dodge projectiles. Your character is replaced by the polymock piece that you have chosen. Any enchantments or summons you have are removed. Your weapon and armor bonuses do not apply to polymock skills. When you use a white or a common polymock piece, your maximum health is 3,000 and your energy is 30. The purple or uncommon pieces give a maximum health of 4,000 and a maximum energy of 35, and the gold or rare pieces give you 5,000 maximum health and 40 energy. During the match, polymock pieces have neither health regeneration nor energy regeneration. Skill use and effects during the match are similar to normal PvE, the only difference being that conditions like burning, bleeding, and disease always cause a full negative 10 health degeneration. When you are done reviewing your skills, you can tell Vok to start the match. A 10-second countdown timer will begin, counting down to the start of the duel, at which point the opponent's polymock piece turns hostile. A round ends when one or both polymock pieces loses all health. The loser is required to select another polymock piece from the remaining two to start the next round. The winner retains its current level of health and energy, and all skills continue their recharge duration, i.e., the skills are not automatically recharged. Once the loser selects the next piece and starts the next round, a 10-second countdown will start again. If your opponent lost the previous round, the countdown timer starts almost immediately since the winner is not prompted to start the next round. This continues until one side's three polymock pieces have all been defeated. But win or lose, you will be returned to the previous location. So now let's get into some of the real strategy of polymock. Note that all polymock pieces share the last five skills on their bars, and that's polymock power drain, polymock block, polymock glyph of concentration, polymock ether signet, and polymock glyph of power. The first skill is always a light damage skill. The second and third skills are more powerful, and at least one of them is exclusive to the piece. A good opening piece when you still need to use common pieces is the scale, because it does 150 damage with its spammable attack to enemies less than 50% health, and has two damage skills, both of which do a great deal of damage but take time to activate and thus benefit from facing a healthy opponent. When the opponent begins a round with a new piece, they will always start off with Polymock Glyph of Concentration, followed by either their most damaging spell or sometimes the light damage spell. This can be taken advantage of by using your 2-second spells right from the start. Even if your opponent attempts Polymock Power Drain after the glyph, you will almost always get your spell off. Using the 2-second spell here risks taking their high damage spell without being able to get Polymock Block off in time, so using your 1-second spell and then blocking instead may be preferred. Be careful to wait at least 30 seconds for your opponent's skills to recharge before beginning with your new piece, so that they will have the Polymock Glyph of Concentration available. Otherwise, they'll start the round in an unpredictable manner. Always watch your health and energy bars. When you're below 50% health, do not neglect the bonus damage offered by Polymock Glyph of Power, but do not activate it blindly, as the enemy will Polymock Power Drain your attempts to use the glyph. Also be aware of whether you have enough energy to pull it off, because the glyph works very well with your spammable skill. And don't forget to use Polymock Ether Signet the moment you reach zero energy. Trying to cast spells without energy wastes valuable time. If you or your opponent is weak, don't hesitate to waste a Polymock Power Drain or Polymock Block to use up your energy so that you can use the Ether Signet and hit them with higher damage ability. Try to use Polymock Power Drain and Polymock Block wisely. Try to save them for highly damaging spells and time their recharge. Polymock Glyph of Power is a good interrupt target as well. Be aware of what type of spells can be blocked and what type can be interrupted but not blocked. Polymach Block can be used as an alternative to Polymach Glyph of Concentration if you use a 1 second spell right after it. Frequently, the enemy won't react right away after having a spell blocked, giving plenty of time for your spell to complete. They will often be able to interrupt a 2 second spell after being blocked, though, so if you can use the block while they're not casting, then it will work for longer spells as well. If you have neither available, you can also slip a 1 second spell in right as the enemy is activating one of their spammable attacks to get it through uninterrupted. Now here's some little tips on Polymach. Like, you can map travel out to abandon a match, that'll actually work, and what it does is it makes it faster to restart a match if it goes badly or maybe you've made a mistake selecting your pieces. If you use /resign, that will let you teleport to the outpost without having to locate it on the world map, which works everywhere. Survivors beware that losing all 3 battles will on rare occasion count as an actual death, and also on rare occasions the loss of 1 piece can also lead to death. I'm not sure if this is something they fixed or not, but it says that in the wiki. After defeating an opponent Polymach piece, there's a short time window that allows you to activate another 1 second skill, such as Polymach Glyph of Power, so take advantage of that. And to make future runs easier, avoid registering the Ice Elemental, the Aloe, and the Mirage Aboga pieces as you get them, and just complete the quest sequence with the Earth Elemental, Fire Elemental, and the Kappa. And then what you do is you pass those other pieces off to a new character that may need to go through, and then you can return them after completion. But just take note that this will prevent you from participating in the tournament mode until you register an actual gold or rare piece. Now, one great point about Polymach, and I imagine it's the motivation of many people who play, is the summon reward skills that you get afterwards. These skills can actually summon 4 different creatures by 4 different spells to fight by your side at any time. There's the Ice Imp, the Mersat, the Naga Shaman, and the Ruby Djinn. The Acerin part of the Eye of the North storyline is the last one you go through, so if you were to finish up each branch as you encountered them, then this would be the last. So I think many people who have started playing Eye of the North but then they never finished it, like myself, I guess you could say, maybe you don't really realize what this area has to offer. So I'm hoping by doing this episode, it will give some motivation and a little bit of a better understanding for when you do play through this area. Or maybe if you have played through, but you avoided Polymach or something like that, and this can give you just a better idea of how to get yourself through that, and then you get that ultimate reward of having a shiny new Ruby Djinn to quest with, and then you can, you know, you guys can go have dinner together and maybe brush each other's hair and talk about cute boys and, you know, whatever you want to do. Hey, that's your business. Okay, so now I'm going to read over a few emails that I've received this last month. I'd say about 90% of the email from this month was about the end of Guildcast, and it was a lot of listeners praising the work I've done and you know, the show and all that. And while each one of these just means the world to me, and I'm very, very grateful for them, I'm just not going to read them here just because it would be like over and over again saying, Sean, you're great, Sean, you're awesome. You know, I'm sure you all don't want to hear that. But what I will do is I'll read a few emails that I had that had some pretty important points that I wanted to address. So for this first one, it's from Raphael, and he says, Dear Sean, hey, it's Raphael Kickbutt. It's been a year since I started Guild Wars, and I love it. You have actually mentioned me in Guildcast a couple of times, and I listen to it as often as I can. Right now I'm writing this while listening to your announcement about the end of Guildcast, which did shock me, but that's not what I wanted to say. I love the podcast, and of course, most of us faithful listeners will be sad to have you quit the podcast, although I am not all that sad because listening to Guildcast has been fun for me. I just wanted to ask one thing. What happens to Damon N. in the Pugs podcast? Does Walmart find the guy who killed him? Does Walmart special remember that he did bring a res? It has been eating me up ever since you put the podcast on iTunes. Please give a shout out to my assassin, Raphael of the Dark, before you finish the podcast. Please, please, please. Well, I did that earlier in the show, so that'll make you happy. Your faithful listener till the end, Raphael of the Dark, Raphael Kickbutt, etc. P.S. Tell Lady Sinea she actually helped me a lot with ascending and that she rocks hardcore. Well, I think she probably already knows that. But the one part I wanted to address on here, you know, first of all, thanks for the kind words about the end of the podcast and all that, and to everyone else who's said basically the same thing. But you mentioned about the Pugs podcast, the video podcast that I did. I'm not sure if too many people watch those. I have put them in the feed. I believe I put every one of them in the feed. But the last one, or the last one, question mark, was just done recently, probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago, somewhere on there. And it does answer most of these questions you mentioned here. So if you should have it in the feed itself, and if you don't actually subscribe to the podcast, and if you just go on the website and download, that's what a lot of people do. Go to YouTube, and you'll find, do a search for Guildcast Theater, and make sure you spell it T-H-E-A-T-R-E, which is the old school way of spelling it. Now, I was trying to be fancy, I think. But search for that. You should find all episodes on there, and you can watch them in sequence, and it should answer all your questions, hopefully. All right, so for this next email, it says, "Hey, Sean, I just wanted to wish you good luck on your future endeavors and to say I've really enjoyed Guildcast. I've been thinking about starting my own Guild Wars podcast for a while now, and I think I might actually try it. Do you have any tips of the trade that could be useful in making a Guild Wars podcast? Again, thanks for a great podcast and helping pave the way for more Guildcast-esque podcasters. Thanks, Talon Freebird." Well, you know, this is something that it would take a while to get into. I've been asked this quite a few times, and it's one of those things that I can't really... It's like when people ask me how to make a webpage. You know, they say, "Hey, I love your webpage. How do you make it?" It's one of those things you can't just sit down and explain it in an email or something like that. It's something you really need to research. Everything that I do as far as the webpage, the podcast, the editing, the uploading, you know, the RSS feed, everything I do, I learned just from research. So if I can do it, anybody can do it. You know, I've said that before, I mean it. It's one of those things that just takes a lot of research, and it takes a lot of trial and error, which if you are a long-time listener of the show, and if you started listening way back in the beginning, that you will definitely see there's been a lot of trial and error in the show. But as far as the tips of the trade and the advice that you're asking about, I think in the last episode, or maybe somewhere around there, maybe the second to last episode, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to talk about what people need to do if they would like to pursue something like podcasting. But in addition to that, Brent over at Virgin Worlds, he has a whole podcast dedicated to how to make a podcast. And it's a great show. You have to listen to it. I don't know the number offhand. I think it's like, I don't know, I'm not even going to guess. But go check that out over at his page, because he does it. He does a real professional job on his podcast. I basically use a gaming headset and a free software called Audacity, and that's it. You know, Brent actually uses like compression software and all this other fancy stuff, and like a spit guard in front of his microphone, I think, and like fancy, you know, a fancy setup. He actually goes to a studio too, and that's something I don't do at all. So if you want to do it the right way, listen to Brent. Listen to what he says. And of course, he's over at virginworlds.com. All right, so moving right along to this next email. It says, "Hey, Sean, this is Mike. I listen to your podcast all the time, and I listen to a lot of other podcasts that I found through listening to yours. The problem I'm starting to have now is disk space. I probably have about 25 gigabytes worth of podcasts saved on my computer, and I was just wondering what you do to combat this situation. I'm sort of a pack rat when it comes to saving things, and I like to keep a history of everything I've listened to. It's just that now I'm starting to get low on disk space, and I can't install as many games as I once could. What do you do with all of your podcasts? Should I just delete them after I listen to them? Will you personally always keep your Guildcast episodes archived so that they can be readily downloaded at any time? Thanks for taking the time, Sean. Mike. Now, I actually answered Mike already. I responded to him, and I basically told him, you need to go out and buy another hard drive or a few more hard drives because they are just dirt cheap right now. You know, memory, whether it be RAM or storage memory, is just dirt cheap. So I would do that personally. What I do when I listen to many, many, many podcasts, probably about 20 or so I listen to, because all day at work I can listen to them, and on the ride to work and the ride back home, I don't have a radio in my truck actually. So I listen to podcasts on my MP3 player. And what I do is I just delete them. I figure, you know, I listen to them once and I delete them. Now, I completely respect the fact that you save all the Guildcast episodes, because even though many of the older ones have become obsolete by now, it's still good to know that people are re-listening to these episodes and getting a little bit more worth out of their the money they pay for them. And to answer your last question about if I'm going to keep my Guildcast episodes archived, yes, I definitely will. What I plan on doing, once Guildcast is done, right around the beginning of March, I plan on doing this, I'm going to take down the website, except for the forums. The forums are staying right where they're at, because they're pretty important to the whole community, I think. And they're still pretty active. And I don't want anyone to think that those are going anywhere. Just yet. I mean, they might eventually, but not yet. And if they do, I'll announce it. Don't worry. But the rest of the web page, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take down all the show notes and everything that's up there now, and it's going to be all on a new website where everything is going to be just a big list of all the episodes, and you can just scroll through the list of episodes and click on them to actually download them like that. Because I might also remove the feed once the show is done. It'll take me a little while. I'll keep it up for a little while for the people who subscribe and everything. But in about probably a couple months from now, I'm going to take down the feed, and it will be just strictly downloadable from the website. And also what I'm going to keep up is the wiki. And I'm going to lock it. It's going to be locked as far as... because mainly it's a spammer haven. Or actually, Hallway Giant has done a lot of great work on it lately, and he locked a bunch of stuff, and we haven't had as much problem with spam, which is great. But I want to keep that up, not only to a testament of what he's done with that thing, which is amazing, but also as just a compilation of show notes. Because on this list that I'm going to have with the archive of Guildcast episodes, I'm not going to have the show notes in there. The show notes will actually be in the wiki itself. So what I'm saying is, don't worry, it'll all still be there for at least 2 years. I have the name and the hosting and everything renewed and paid up for the next 2 years. And that is courtesy of some very generous listeners, and I thank you all for that. So on to the last email. It says, Sean, I am new, I hate that word noob, to Guild Wars, and I would like to join a guild. A guild which is friendly, for I am shy online. I do not want a guild where everybody is always way ahead of me in level. I need a guild which will help me along the way with everything. I do not want a guild where everybody hates me for being new on missions. A guild which does everything, PvE, PvP, GVG, etc., but will not force me to join in, PvP, GVG, etc., if I do not want to join in right now. With all that information, sorry for all that, he says, can you help me by emailing me with some guilds? New Guildcast fan, Mark. Well, one of the things with this is I get asked every once in a while about guilds and if I can recommend a guild and everything. And now that my guild and my alliance is down, the best thing you can do if you're going for a broad market for guilds is I would check out Guild Cafe. It's GuildCafe.com. They have a search engine. They have, it's almost like personals, like the, you know, the personal pages where you look for dates and stuff like that. It's almost like that, but with guilds, where you can put, you know, your preferences and you can put all this different stuff, you know, PvE, PvP, and it'll narrow down a search and it'll give you a pretty good result as to what you're looking for. So it's a pretty cool thing. Plus, there's a few other sites out there. I know Guild Wars Guru has I think they have a section of their forums dedicated to searching for guilds. But yeah, I would definitely stick with Guild Cafe. They seem to be the number one way to do that right now, and they definitely have their stuff together when it comes to that kind of thing. Well, that'll do it for yet another episode of Guildcast. For next episode, I'm going to try and put out a show that I've been working on for like over a month now in collaboration with a few other listeners. And it's going to be a huge show. It's mainly about skills and, well, I'll save the details. I'll let it be a surprise. But the recent skill balance actually kind of messed up some of the builds that we had, stuff like that. But hopefully by the next week or the next 2 weeks, I can get that out. Also, I wanted to mention about the crazy voicemail problem I've been having on Skype, and it's driving me crazy. But for some reason, I guess since I upgraded to Vista, I'm not sure, but for the last few months, my Skype voicemails haven't been saving. And what it'll do is it'll show me that someone has called, but it won't say that they left a message. It'll actually say they hung up, which I thought was just happening. I thought people were just hanging up until I was actually at the computer one time when someone called, and it just answered, and then it hung up on them. And it happened a couple times, actually, which is kind of weird, but I imagine it's maybe a conflict with Vista. So if you've tried to, or you thought you left a voicemail for me in the last 6 weeks or so, just see if you can record something and save it as an MP3 and then email it to me instead, or just shoot me an email. In the meantime, I'm going to look into an upgrade for that voicemail software. And if you'd like to get in touch with me through email, that address is Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com. And you can contact me or Lady Sinea or anyone else who contributes to the show via the forums over at guildcast.com/forum. Also, one more thing. I have a little bit of a kind of an impromptu contest. If you recognize the theme song for this episode, which I will not be putting in the show notes for today, if you can tell me the name of the song and the original composer's name, then I will give you, just contact me in email and we'll meet up in game, and I'll give you like a ton of gold and green items. You can have the works, because anyone who recognizes a song just rocks in my book. So email me if you recognize the song, tell me the name of the person who does it and the name of the song, and you'll be set. And as always, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.